This year we had the highest moose harvest on record for the local RMO 38 moose hunt. That's Unit 3 and Unit 1B portion of the mainland. 107 moose were taken. 43 of those were taken from Kuprinoff Island, including 32 in the immediate cake area and 11 throughout the remainder of Kuprinoff. And that's the highest annual harvest total that we've seen to date for Kuprinoff Island, which in recent years we've seen the harvest on Kuprinoff picking up more so than other areas. In fact, it now far exceeds the Stikeen, which used to be the traditional harvest area. On the Stikeen drainage, we had 29 moose harvested, and that actually is in keeping with the long-term average going back to like 1954. The long-term average is 26 annually. We came in just above that this year. Midcalf Island, we had 15 animals taken, and that's kind of in keeping with what we've seen over the last several years. Thomas Bay, 10 moose were taken there.
That's better than in recent years, I think, isn't it, a little bit?
Somewhat better. Thomas Bay has been on a slide in the past decade, and that decline that we've seen in recent years is associated with the clear cuts are regenerating and entering stem exclusion there, so you're seeing a reduction in browse production over there.
Meaning that it's hard for them to get to food because the clear cuts are getting overgrown.
Well, and there's just not as much food emerging under the canopy of those clear cuts as they close in. Farragut Bay, we had 4 animals harvested up there. That's, I think, perhaps one more than we usually see. And then Port Houghton, Wrangell Island, and QU Island produced 2 animals each. And the QU harvest is actually kind of interesting. We've seen a range extension of moose out through the Unit 3 islands, and we did have 1 moose harvested there several years ago, but this year 2 animals were taken, and I think we're probably going to see more harvest on QU in the future.
So Kuprinoff was really the big change here as far as location, and then as far as actual, you know, the types of animals that were taken, you have the new antler regulation in effect.
With the new antler regulation that came into effect this year, it added bulls with 2 brow tines on both antlers to the allowable harvest. And of the 107 moose taken, 34 of those were animals that had 2x2 brow tines that in the past would have been illegal to harvest. This year we allowed the harvest of those animals. If you pull those 2x2 brow tiners out of the harvest, we would have come in at 74 animals, which is in keeping with the 10-year average for our moose hunt. We, you know, over the last 10 years, we've been taking about 69 moose per year, and so we'd have been right in there.
So do you feel this level of harvest with the 2 brow tiners is sustainable then after seeing how many were taken under the 2 brow tine rule?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think the increase that we saw this year was predominantly related to the harvest of 2x2 brow tiners, which have been protected for a number of years now. And what we're likely to see is a decline in the harvest of that segment of the population next year. So that's going to be reduced. We may also see a decline in the number of 3 brow tine moose, just because if you're harvesting them at 2 brow tines, then some of those aren't going to make it to 3 brow tines. But this year was really interesting. I mean, in addition to the 34 moose that had 2 brow tines on both sides, we also saw a pretty high number of 3 or more brow tine moose taken. So 16 animals, or about 15% of the total harvest, were 3 brow tiners or more.
And that's
harvest for or high for our area.
What does that mean for the layman in terms of, are we talking age differences then? Or
we're talking about older, more mature bulls.
So how do you know then when you look at the population in the future that this particular harvest was okay or you can stick with this rule? Are you looking then, when you do your surveys, what are you looking for next year to make sure that, you know, it's okay to continue harvesting the 2x2 brow tiners?
Well, I think the one area that will be of importance here is during my Stikeen surveys, We typically count the number of cows versus the number of calves, and we also look for calves that are noticeably smaller than they should be at that time of year. And if during surveys, not so much next year, but particularly the year after, we start to see a high percentage of small, late-born calves in the harvest, that's an indication that bull-cow ratios have dropped lower than desired. So hopefully we won't see an increase in the number of late-born calves. What typically happens is if there aren't enough bulls to breed the cows during their first estrus, the cows that went unbred will come into estrus again a month later. And if they're bred a month later, the calves are born a month later, and then they subsequently enter into the coming winter, smaller size, poorer condition, and then overwinter survival for those late-born calves is reduced. So that'll probably be the first indication of how sustainable this harvest is going to be with the new antler restriction. And it's going to, you know, I'm optimistic that it's going to be just fine, but we are, you know, it's somewhat of an experiment, and we're hopeful that we've got the antler restrictions where they need to be now.